Seasons change. Summer has rapidly turned into autumn. Many of you know I took up open water swimming last year. I know the seasons have changed because I went this week and my forehead was freezing for the first 5 minutes. It wasn't like that even just a few weeks ago. You'll all know by now that the Thorndykes are leaving Crowborough in November. A hard thing for us and for you guys. You heard me speak into that a little earlier in the service. Seasons change. Each has its own joys and challenges. In light of this changing season for us as a church family, I've changed the little series I plan to preach through September. As we come near to the end of this season, I actually want to revisit three sermons I preached at its start way back in January 2018. There were three principles for healthy life together as a church family: growing, serving, and giving. And I wouldn't normally preach the same passage in the same way to the same church, at least not quite so soon. But they were new words to the new church plant at the start. Important things for a church looking ahead and wanting to grow healthily together. So they seem pertinent for us to reconsider now as we near the start of another season. Fresh eyes and application for new people in a new season. For life together as a church family, looking ahead in this place at this moment. You will have all heard people say you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It's a common objection by those who, for whatever reason, don't want to or find it hard to step into church on a Sunday. It's also commonly said about loved ones who we like to think have their own faith, but who are not or will not be committed to a local church family. According to one author and veteran of over 20 years in ministry, he says, "Everything God has for you is available to you right where you are, in the woods, in bed, around your table, at the game, having coffee with your spouse, pruning the flowers, driving down the interstate." If we are thinking what it means for us to be Christians here now, looking ahead to this next season at St. Richard's, I'm afraid that just isn't the way the Bible speaks about our relationship to the local church. Of course, salvation, being forgiven for our sin and welcomed into God's family, it is personal. And it comes through and only through faith alone in Jesus alone. The gospel is never Jesus plus church attendance. But we fool ourselves if we think we can be Christians apart from the church. After all, being a Christian means being welcomed into God's family. Throughout the whole Bible, God has been in the business of gathering together a people for himself. And the church is the body of Christ. How can a member be anything other than dying if it's cut off or cuts itself off from the rest of the body? So what then, as Christians, is our relationship to the local church? What should it look like? What should it be? When we met together in 2018, we were one new church family. That was our strapline at the time. Many are still here. Some are not. And we have a great number of new faces in the mix too. We are no longer one new church family. Rather, simply, wonderfully, one church family. A glorious picture of different people united together in Jesus as part of this church, functioning as one body, many parts for God's glory, something so precious we must work hard to guard it in this coming season. For our sake as individual Christians, for our sake as the body of Christ at St. Richard's, and for the sake of our witness to those in our local community and beyond. So we have 3 weeks looking at three principles for healthy life together as a church family: growing, serving, and giving. Some building blocks as we look ahead to a new season. And this morning is growing. We're going to land in 2 Peter 3:14-18. There'll be references elsewhere. Let me pray. Do have your Bibles open. I'll pray for us now. Father God, we thank you for your word to us. We do pray that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let me share another quote, one I'm much more inclined to agree with when we look at the evidence in the New Testament. The New Testament assumes that all Christians will share in the life of the local church, meeting with it for worship, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, accepting its nurture and discipline, Matthew 18, 15 to 20, and sharing in its work of witness, Colossians 4, 5 to 6. The New Testament assumes that all Christians will share in the life of the local church, meeting with it for worship, accepting its nurture and discipline, and sharing in its work of witness. To commit to a local church. COVID has been uniquely difficult in terms of meeting together, but the New Testament doesn't paint a picture of Christians belonging to some big church miles away they only get to occasionally or even just watch online from afar. Or of flitting between churches and congregations, being part of different bits of different churches as it suits them. There seems to be a constant urging by the New Testament writers to commit to get stuck into a local church family. For that's truly the place where all that one anothering is done. Because the local church is the place we've got to think hard what it means to live in harmony. Romans 15, 5 to 6. It's the place we've got to think hard about how we bear with one another. Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. And to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, 1 to 5. It's the place we'll encourage and build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Our commitment to our local church means we'll be able to exhort one another regularly. Hebrews 3:13. And encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. The local church is the place we can show our love for one another. 1 John 3. As we commit to one another. Think how weak it sounds to say, I love you and I care about you, but I'm not actually committed to you. I'd rather be with myself or another family sometimes. That wouldn't make a good wedding vow. It's too easy to have a consumer view of church, especially now with all the online provision, to pick which bits of which churches we like and drift in and out of them. That's self-serving, not serving God or his people. When we commit to a local church family, it's the place we'll truly grow as we serve and give and share our lives and ministry together. Let me urge us on, as the writer to the Hebrews does in chapter 10, verse 25, not to neglect to meet together. And not just with our close friends, as if our small group of friends is our local church, but all together, where we possibly can, and of course, safely, given the current COVID circumstances, but all together, that we might grow together, one body, many parts. I know it's sometimes a right pain to be committed to a local church like that, where we're all different and broken and muddled, where we all need support and encouragement, correction and rebuke. It is hard to be committed to one another. But together, iron sharpens iron. That's the place we'll grow as Christians. And growing as Christians is key to the Christian life, which is where 2 Peter 3 truly helps us, because it exhorts, it urges us to grow, and it tells us why that is so important. After a long preamble, three things we're going to look at more briefly from our passage now. A reminder, a warning, and an exhortation. First, heading on the screens, a reminder of who we are as Christians. Christians are waiting for Jesus to return. Christians are waiting for Jesus to return. Have you ever been stood up or felt let down, abandoned? A meeting or a date or an appointment? Someone leaves your team, or perhaps they leave your church. Don't you hate it? It can feel embarrassing, and it feeds our insecurities. Is it me? What have I done? Though frustration can turn to anger directed at the one who's let us down. When your date doesn't show, how long do you wait? When do things go from being late to being stood up? And what do you do? What do you do when it looks like you've been blown out? What of the last 2,000 years? Christians throughout the ages have been waiting for Jesus to return as he promised he would. Jesus says to his disciples in John 14, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is coming back to judge the world. It's been a long time though. If we look around at our lives and the worlds we inhabit, school life, work life, home life, church life, we plan for holidays and families, a new baby or to get married, new groups and events, we plan for new jobs and moving house. And well, life goes on. It has done for years. And perhaps the thought of saying to those around us, one day Jesus will return to judge the world, are you ready? Be ready. The thought of saying that seems at times, well, stupid. Jesus hasn't come back yet, and it's been a long time. So it's easy to forget that as Christians, we're waiting for Jesus to return. And it's easy to forget when other people question it. Really? Is Jesus really coming back? Or even worse, as false teachers of Peter's time began to say, Jesus isn't coming back. There's no second coming. There's no day of judgment. There's freedom in Christ now to live however you want to. It's easy to forget that Christians are waiting for Jesus to return. And so Peter reminds us in verse 14, since you are waiting for this, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Since we are waiting for Jesus to return, be diligent to be found by Jesus in the right state. Ready, not living however we want to live, at peace with God, keeping trusting Jesus, and at peace with one another, keeping loving God's people. Jesus is coming. Be ready for his coming. Be found by him doing what we ought, living the Christian life, not caught up in living how we want or how the world wants us to live. Monday morning is coming. Be ready. The alarms are set, I bet. Christmas is coming. Be ready. Who's made plans for Christmas 2021 already? It's happening in our family at the moment. Jesus is coming. Be ready. It's of far greater importance. If you're a Christian here today, you are waiting for Jesus to return. It's the next big event in world history. Jesus is coming back to judge the world, to bring in, verse 13, new heavens and a new earth. Be ready. That's the reminder for us this morning as we sit here with a million other things going through our minds, all the other things we're caught up with, concerned about and preparing for, even the arrival of a new minister. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Why do we need to be reminded of this? Well, because of what comes next. The warning from Peter, the second point on the screens, beware being carried away whilst you wait. Beware being carried away whilst you wait. This COVID season has been unprecedented. The long wait for a vaccine, the fear and anxiety of catching COVID while we waited. Waiting is not always safe. Nor are we necessarily safe as we wait for Jesus' return. God is patient, verse 15. And as long as God is patient, it's the season of salvation. Until Jesus returns, there is hope for all who might turn and trust in him. The patience of our Lord is salvation for all who will turn to Christ. As one writer puts it, the greatest need our world faces is its need for a saviour on the day of judgment. But for us Christians, verse 17, there is danger during this season of salvation. Take care, Peter says, that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Beware being carried away whilst we wait. Beware the Bible twisters. You know those ice lollies, twisters. They're sort of a mix of fruit and ice cream, sort of twisted and swirled up, so it doesn't quite look like it should. Beware the Bible twisters, Peter says. Jesus is going to return. Peter writes it, and Peter reminds us, verse 15, that Paul writes of the same things. In fact, the whole Bible points to the return of God's King. But verse 16, there are some who would deny this. It's a reference to the false teachers of Peter's time and of those who continue to peddle that message today. that Jesus isn't coming back. There's no second coming. There's no day of judgment. So there's freedom now in Christ to live how you want to live, they say. Verse 16, the Bible twisters, who twist the Bible, verse 16, to their own destruction, but who also seem, verse 17, to have the power to carry others with them. Because it's a more popular message. Yeah, what do people want to hear? What do our own hearts want to hear? What's the message we want to share with others? Well, it's much easier to speak of God's love and freedom in Christ to be the people God made us to be and to live how he wants us to live and how we want really to live now. And what a contemporary message that is. It is the message of the moment. And sadly, it's a message being peddled by Bible twisters from within the church in the 21st century as much as in the first century in Peter's time. Because it's a message the world and our fallen hearts want to hear. God places no demands on our lives. We can have Jesus as Saviour without having him as our Lord. Lawless living, as Peter puts it in verse 17. It's harder to speak of an end to this present age and the coming of, verse 13, new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, of a day of judgment when Jesus returns, of a calling to account, of a separation between people, some who will be found, verse 14, without spot or blemish and at peace, some and through faith in God that will be the case, and some who will not, denying God's judgment and living how they please, ultimately, verse 17, to their own destruction. Forewarned is forearmed, verse 17. And unless we are diligent, verse 14, we are in danger of being carried away whilst we wait, of believing a different truth that really is no truth at all, that leads to a different life that really is no life at all. And I want to say there is a particular danger of that happening in a church that is waiting for a leader. Leaders are appointed in churches to shepherd the flock, and without a shepherd, the sheep are in greater danger from wolves. Wolves coming in, but also wolves from within. Now, please hear me very clearly. I really don't think we have any wolves here at St. Richard's. But the danger is always there, especially in a vacancy of wolves coming. It's why we are working hard to make sure there's an interim leadership until the new minister arrives. I hope to be able to share more of that soon, even perhaps next week. We also have a management team for accountability. This is not the time for self-appointed leaders or for innovation. Beware being carried away whilst you wait. Rather, keep our eyes on who we are as Christians. We are waiting for Jesus to return, the great shepherd of the sheep. Don't forget that. Don't be led astray from that. But, and here's the exhortation from the passage and what to do, the final point on the screens, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Consider the Christian life like riding a bike. If we stop pedaling, we don't keep moving forward. We don't just remain where we are, but we fall off it. If we don't grow as Christians, we won't just be Christians of little faith, but we risk being, verse 17, carried away with the error of lawless people and lose our stability. What's the solution? Well, verse 14, be diligent. We might say make every effort to grow, which we do, as the New Testament says, and we considered that earlier, together, one anothering. And not just growing in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, but growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Not just knowing more about him as we listen to sermons or read books or watch online on our own, but living our lives more for him, which we can't do apart from the local church. The place we need one another to fulfill all the things Jesus tells us are part of the Christian life. That one anothering together. We live out our lives as Christians in the context of the local church. We need the local church to teach us the right things about Jesus and to help us live out those things in our lives, one anothering together. We need the local church to teach us the right things about Jesus and to help us live out those things in our lives, one anothering together. As we finish now, looking ahead and growing. Commitment to the local church is the context we will grow as Christians. I'm just not sure the New Testament writers see a vision for it apart from the local church. And the danger of not being diligent to grow is that we might be carried away whilst we wait for Jesus to return. With a new season ahead, may this church family here at St. Richard's now play our part together, helping each of us persevere in the faith until our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, returns. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have called us to you to be part of your people. We pray that as we wait for the Lord Jesus to return, we might commit ourselves to his church and to this church in this place, especially at this moment, working hard to grow together in him as we wait for a new minister to come. And all this, that we might stand firm all our days, encouraging one another to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and on the day of eternity. Amen.